What's going on, everybody? Welcome back for another episode of Trigger. This is Triggered episode number 522 here on Tuesday, July 2nd, just days away from my favorite holiday.
The day the aliens arrived, by the way. The aliens are coming.
Today, usually, in the movie.
Yeah, it happens today.
Let me tell you something. Holy fuck, the bar was low for Joe Biden.
He couldn't.
And, I mean, Jesus Christ, the guy...
He still tripped.
It was unbelievable. I couldn't believe what we were watching.
Yeah.
You know, in all the years been doing this, I've never seen anything like that.
Oh, my God.
And
it really was a demolishing.
It couldn't have gone any worse for him. It was just a totally shocking moment for... You know, we knew he was like this, right? But, like, we figured he would have been severely drugged up.
Yeah.
And, like, that just totally collapsed every bit of the Democrat lie about his well-being.
Yeah.
And he was old, senile, and dementia-ridden. It was just...
It was bad.
And not only that, you know, the first half was brutal. He recovered a little bit in the second half. And I actually think that it was because Trump realized what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
And he let up a little bit.
Yeah.
Because... It was really, really close to being just the absolute kill shot.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk about the reaction in a second. But not only that, Biden had some really big whopper of lies in that debate. The worst of all, I thought, was when he lied about being the only U.S. president in the past decade who's had no American troops die anywhere in the world. Take a listen.
The truth is, I'm the only president this century that doesn't have any... This decade, there aren't any troops dying anywhere in the world like he did.
You mean the guy that was at Dover checking his watch?
Yeah.
When 13 Americans were brought back after being murdered in a suicide attack?
Well, realistically, he probably just doesn't remember it.
Yeah, I think it's probably true, too.
He also lied about the Border Patrol union endorsing him. Take a listen.
By the way, the Border Patrol endorsed me, endorsed my position.
And the Border Patrol tweeting, to be clear, we never have and never will endorse Biden. Lied about insulin costs. Lied about Trump's position on Social Security. Lied about the unemployment rate at the time he entered office. We have that clip for you.
There was no inflation when I became president. You know why? The economy was flat on its back. 15% unemployment. He decimated the economy. Absolutely decimated the economy.
Lied about inflation. I mean,
yeah.
The guy was full of nothing but dementia and lies. And, you know, Trump had, I thought, some classic moments there. And we'll talk about Trump's performance in a minute. This one was my favorite.
All those things we need to do, child care, elder care, making sure that we continue to strengthen our health care system, making sure that we're able to make every single solitary person eligible for what I've been able to do with the dealing with everything we have to do with look, if we finally beat Medicare.
Thank you, President Biden. President Trump.
Well, he's right. He did beat Medicare. He beat it to death, and he's destroying Medicare because all of these people are coming in.
My second favorite was when he's like, basically just, what the fuck did he just say? Roll that clip.
Continue to move until we get the total ban on the total initiative relative to what we're going to do with more Border Patrol and more asylum officers.
President Trump?
I really don't know what he said at the end of that sentence. I don't think he knows what he said either. Look, we had the safest border in the history of our country. All he had to do was leave it.
And then, of course, he called Joe Biden Brandon, which I thought was a nice little nod. Take that.
In that final couple of months of my presidency, we had, according to Border Patrol, who is great, and by the way, who endorsed me for president, but I won't say that, but they endorsed me for president. Brandon, just speak to him. But look, we had the safest border in history. Now we have the worst border in history. There's never been anything like it. And people are dying all over the place, including the people that are coming up in caravans.
President Trump.
Yeah, you know, with Trump's debate performance, I thought it was okay. You know, he did what he needed to do to win. I mean, of course, he was being compared to a fucking sponge.
Yeah.
I thought he missed a few opportunities to smack down Biden. But then again, you know, going to my previous theory of, I think he let off a little bit.
Yeah.
At the end there, because he didn't want to totally... You know, if he had really continued to demolish him the entire time, the conversation that's been happening the last, you know, whatever it is, 5 days since the debate would be only stronger.
Yeah.
To replace Joe Biden at the top of the ticket. And we're going to get to that in a second. But I think that the, you know, overall, I was pretty happy with Trump's performance. I think he missed a few opportunities to really drive home the message about his wins and his record. You know, saying you had the best this and that is great, but, like, it doesn't always necessarily resonate with voters.
Yeah.
Now, I will say, we're going to have a whole segment on this on the polls. The polls are showing Trump, the Trump train is gaining momentum big time.
Party like it's 1980.
Big time, yeah.
And, on that last point there, before we get into the polls, I thought Trump was did exceptionally well on the abortion issue.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Biden, I mean, that was another flub. I mean, the whole we need Roe v. Wade because in-laws are raping the shit out of their family members, which was just the botching. It got pro-abortion Twitter all in a tizzy because they're like, this is the man who's been talking about this for months and he can't even, you know, talk about
their issue.
He can't even talk about their issue. So, and then, you know, Trump was well about pointing out the extremism in the Democratic position. I liked the Ralph Northam make the baby comfortable before you kill it part.
That was good, yeah.
I thought that was good because late-term abortion is very unpopular. So, I mean, there really was nothing. I think the only positive for Democrats is that Biden didn't fall. That's probably the only good thing that happened.
But if you watch, he could barely walk afterwards. Well, Dr. Jill had to help him down the steps for his visiting angel, you know? visiting angel. I mean, it's crazy. And so this set off a cascading effect Democrat meltdown. And quite like I've never seen before.
It's bad. I thought 2016 was bad. This is probably worse.
Well, because they realized that all in one fell swoop, they lost their narrative about Joe Biden being up to the task completely. It totally crushed all their fucking, you know, cheap fake this and, you know, it's all Dr. Video and the president's fine and blah, blah, blah. But also, they saw the election slipping away live in front of their eyes.
Yeah.
One of my favorite reports is that there's a report from an L.A. watch party where Rob Reiner was screaming that we yelling erratically that we just lost the election and Jane Fonda had tears in her eyes and that makes me very happy. But you know, but then right after the debate, you know, we had CNN on, MSNBC on, they threw Biden right under the bus, right under the bus, no hesitation whatsoever. You know, just like, what the fuck this guy did we just watch? Take a listen to even what noted crazy lib Alex Wagner had to say.
There has been a uniformly negative reaction to Biden's performance tonight. Surely, as you know, Joy said, this was about revealing who Donald Trump was, but it was also Joe Biden battling a caricature of himself as an enfeebled person, an impression that Trump has been eager to convey to the country. And he did nothing to disabuse, I think, the country of the notion that he is very old and was lost frequently in that debate.
I mean, Jesus. David Plouffe, Obama's campaign manager, called Biden's performance a DEFCON 1 moment. John King had this to say.
That right now, as we speak, there is a deep, a wide, and a very aggressive panic in the Democratic Party. It started minutes into the debate, and it continues right now. It involves party strategists. It involves elected officials. It involves fundraisers. And they're having conversations about the president's performance, which they think was dismal, which they think will hurt other people down the party in the ticket. And they're having conversations about what they should do about it. Some of those conversations include, should we go to the White House and ask the president to step aside? Other of the conversations are about, should prominent Democrats go public with that call?
I mean, they were off the rails. I was enjoying every second of it. But you have that whole Dem freakout that continues through the weekend. They trot out Biden last night to give comments on the Supreme Court decisions, which we're going to get to all those. Guy talks for 4 minutes, teleprompter, basically fucks it up, but not terribly bad. Kind of, you know, a restore confidence moment.
I thought it was Trump out there.
Well, yeah, he had a really orange spray tan on. Yeah, yeah. You know,
it was like Kramer from Seinfeld.
Dr. Jill and Crackhead Hunter were like, okay, spray him. Yeah. We need him orange.
Spray him, yeah, because I mean, he looked like death during the debate, so I mean, might as well.
Well, here's the ironic. Then they tried to blame the CNN makeup artist for making him look like that. They tried to blame CNN for, you know, a bunch of the stuff. I'm like, you guys made the rules.
Yeah.
You all made these rules. So that was one aspect of it. And now we get these polls that are starting to come out that have been taken after the debate that are just brutal for Joe Biden.
Yeah.
Brutal and great for us.
Yo.
Phenomenal for us.
Keep this man on the ticket.
Well, you know, that has to be our goal here.
Yeah.
Is to keep Joe Biden on this ticket.
Yeah.
He is our golden ticket to victory, is keeping him on. There's been a lot of talk about, will Kamala replace him, which is the only way they can keep all the money that Joe Biden has.
Yep.
You know, they've had the pipe dream candidates of like, ooh, well, maybe Michelle Obama will run and this and that. Well, guess what? Every single person they polled against Trump in the last 5 days since the debate loses.
Yep.
Okay? Loses. So, clearly there is appetite for Trump to come back and try to fix the country, is what it comes down to. There's still this undecided portion of people. I'm not sure how you could be undecided at this point, but, you know, that and ticket splitters I've never really understood. I guess it's just because I'm, you know, such a political person.
Well, we're base voters, man. We're Republican all the way.
Sure.
But, I mean, Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer, who's also in the replace Biden,
Newsom,
supposedly relayed a dire warning to the campaign saying, my state is now unwinnable because of this debate.
Well, interesting you say that.
We'll see, because apparently it was somebody who could potentially, you know, campaign run against her for the 2028 nomination. So, you know, you have rivals saying shit like this, trying to cause discord. But
Here's the thing: there's a meme with a CNN Chiron Dem source. We're fucked.
Yeah.
You know, there was a Michigan poll that had Trump up for before the debate.
Yeah.
Let's not forget, that came out right before the debate.
Yeah.
The day before, I think.
It's probably ticked up two or three by now.
Well, now we have a leak of a Democrat internal poll.
Okay? Yes.
And, you know, take this for what it is, right? An internal poll leaked. We don't know all the methodology and all that, but if this is the Dem internals showing this, they've got some big fucking problems on their hands, okay?
Yeah.
You have... North Carolina went from being 8 points Trump to over 10.
Yep.
Georgia went from being just under 8 to over 10. Arizona went from being 7.5 to 9.5. Nevada went from being just under 7 to almost 9. Pennsylvania went from just about 5 to Trump 7.5. Michigan went from 5 to Trump 7. You have Wisconsin went from... almost 2.25 Trump to 4.25 Trump. New Hampshire went from Dem 1 to R3. Virginia went from 1.5 Biden to 0.6 Trump. New Mexico went from Biden 2 to Trump half a point. You're talking about, on average,
a
2 to 2.25 point swing here in all of these states. Stacking on top of existing lead and, in many cases here, swinging the states. New Hampshire, Virginia, New Mexico. I mean, New Mexico, you know, listen, if Trump wins New Hampshire and Virginia, this race is over and it's a Reagan-type beat.
Look at Maine. If we win Maine.
Yeah, sure. Well, fuck Maine.
But
Minnesota, same thing.
Yeah.
You know?
All in all, if you want to take this poll as is, this is about 360 electoral votes.
Right.
It's a 1984 type landslide.
Yeah.
And remember, if things are close like this, you know, it advantage Trump.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I know it also in that memo, you know, the thing that the Biden campaign is harping on is, well, if you look at the national poll, you know, the head-to-head,
mm-hmm.
the national poll, there wasn't much change. You know, Biden is still ahead by 0.8%, and I'm just like, you do know that's bad, right?
Well,
like that means Trump is gonna win.
Here's the thing, in every single poll that's come out since then, Trump's been dominating.
Yeah.
A new Reuters poll just came out that shows it tied at 40-40. But here's the thing: if it's tied at 40-40, Trump wins the Electoral College.
Yeah, exactly.
That's one thing that they're glossing over
here.
The Democrat has to win the national popular vote by at least at least 2 points.
Yeah.
And it depends where those 2 points are.
Yeah.
In order to win the presidency.
That's something that Nate Silver mentioned in his analysis, too. He's like, that's not good that it's this close, guys.
So it really puts you 6 points out, is what he said. I read that same analysis. And so, Survey USA, Trump plus two. Morning Consult, Trump plus one. Harvard Harris, Trump plus four. CNN, Trump plus six. These are this is national popular vote. Data for Progress, which is a Dem internal poll, Trump plus three.
Yeah. So if that's the case, add four to that, and that's probably the closest.
If that's the case, again, it's a, like you said, a massive Electoral College blowout.
Yeah.
You know, not counting the chickens before they hatched here. You know, we can't be pre-celebrating. We got to keep pushing hard.
True, but the 3/4 of this country now thinks that he's too old to run.
Yes.
That's unprecedented.
And is not capable. Yeah.
Harry Enten was like, this is unsurvivable. He's like, I don't know how he wins with these numbers. And he's like, enough with the whole, well, Reagan had a bad first debate and people thought he was cool. He's like, no. It was 27% after that bad first debate and he rebounded in the second and the third.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not even comparable. So, I mean, I don't see, you can't de-age him. This isn't Benjamin Button or anything like that. Can't de-age him. Yeah. I don't think there's going to be any significant difference whenever that second debate happens. I mean, they had a week of seclusion to prepare this guy, and this is what we got. We also have, you know, there's now the Biden White House is leaking like a sieve. Everyone's freaking out. Apparently, the president is only semi-cogent between 10 a.m. and 4 p.m.
Yep. That's another detail, you
know,
I forgot.
He's a 6-hour window, so he's not even a sundowner. By 4:02, he doesn't know where he is anymore. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, these limitations, I think, are set in stone.
Mm-hmm.
And it's over. And it's too late. It's too late. You really can't. I mean, I know we. It's kind of fun to kind of poke the bear on this, but it's too late in the calendar. Biden has the pledged delegates. It's up to him to release them. He's not going to do that. Not with Lady Macbeth yanking on, you know, pulling his dog
chain. You mean
chain.
Edith Wilson?
Yeah.
I mean, there sure is still an out, though, but it's only him that can take it.
Yeah.
Right? That's the thing. They're not going to be able to push him out at the convention. No. It's just not going to happen. So the only way that Biden stops being the Democrat nominee is by him voluntarily doing it. And
although some people talking about like an contested convention on the floor, that has been fun to read.
Okay,
it's insane. I'm not.
Here's the thing, the vote's not even happening at the convention.
No, it's not. It's gonna be all digital.
Remember, they moved it virtual.
Yeah, to avoid Hamas. People.
Secondly, that hasn't happened since what, 68?
Yeah, I know.
And so nobody even knows how the fuck to do that. Okay.
Yeah.
These people that are there, they're all pledged Biden delegates, like you said, which is the key thing here.
Yeah.
The only way they can't vote for him on the first ballot is if he releases them.
Which he won't do.
Again, so it all goes back to him. Now, they had this big family meeting where Crackhead Hunter apparently is a very senior advisor to the campaign for the president, which Dems freaked out about.
Dad, don't quit.
And, of course, it comes down to First Lady Honorable Dr. Jill Biden.
The president? You mean the president?
Well, yeah, basically.
Yeah, pretty much.
Here's the thing. Thank God we have that fucking cunt Jill there to stop him from dropping out. I mean, it's the truth. Thank God for her. I hope they dig in harder than ever before.
Well,
that is our hope
did
here.
Did you see that Vogue piece? I mean, what a bunch of psychopaths.
And to release that right after
it
this is just like...
It ends when I say it. It's like, it's Breaking Bad. It ends when I say it ends.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
so,
God.
Yeah, we just got to hope that she keeps digging in.
Oh, and she
That's
will.
Our hope
she
here.
Will. That's her personality, so.
Yeah, and of course Hunter wants him to stay in for obvious reasons.
Yeah. I need a commuted sentence. Also, Dad, I have a mountain of legal bills, and if you're not in the White House, I can't, you know.
Yeah.
No government access operation. It's dead.
Right. So that's where that's at. All right, let's get on to SCOTUS decisions here. So SCOTUS has been delivering wins, you know, yesterday... I sent this tweet out. I want to play this video here.
We're going to win so much, you may even get tired of winning. And you'll say, please, it's too much winning. We can't take it anymore. Mr. President, it's too much. And I'll say, no, it isn't. We have to keep winning. We have to win more. We're going to win more. We're going to win so much.
So much winning.
I'm
tired
of it.
That's how I feel for the last 7 days. Yeah. I mean, it's really nice for once.
Yeah.
You know, we got the great Chevron ruling that just killed the administrative state in this country. Will, it's going to have such an effect on our government for years to come. We don't even truly grasp yet what it's going to do.
Yeah.
But it is something the conservatives have wanted for a long time. And to totally destroy the Chevron deference with this, you know, conservative court, the 6-3 ruling with Rhino Roberts on our side. It's just so great. And, you know, I really think that just for decades to come, we're going to look back at this moment and say, wow, what a momentous occasion. And not only that, it was done by the Trump Supreme Court, really. Yeah. Wouldn't be possible without him. Then we go into the next big case, which was the January 6th case, having to do with the obstruction charges and the overextension, using them in the prosecution. In a 6-3 opinion, again, which, here's the interesting
thing.
It wasn't all conservatives.
No, it was very diverse.
Yeah,
Ketanji Brown Jackson sided with us.
Yeah. Amy Coney Barrett dissented, disappointing ACB.
Yeah. I do like how they said, for the... the government needs to present evidence to the effect that there was an obstruction of a legal proceeding. Like, of course. So that kind of ripped the wings out of the Jack Smith indictment for the one of them, the J6 one against Trump.
Yes.
You know, I mean, it's held together by duct tape. There are some things that you can, but, you know, some of those discussions were... Oh, sorry. I'm getting ahead of myself. Sorry.
No, go ahead.
Some of those discussions were led into the immunity case, which was also decided. Sorry.
You're like,
everybody
knows about the immunity case. It's a huge win. Here's the thing.
I mean, the Fisher decision, like, you know, if it was like 6 shots to the chest and they were waiting for the kill shot for the next one for the entire diamond to be tossed.
Here's my problem with the immunity decision. It's a good decision.
Yeah.
And it's almost exactly what I said was going to happen.
Yeah.
You remember that? They said that the official acts are always, of course, covered under immunity. Unofficial acts, no. However, the merits have not been ruled on, and whether this is an official or unofficial, and they kicked it back to the lower court, which is exactly what I said they were going to do. Another
factual hearing on that.
However, this all but ensures that this will never see the inside of a courtroom before the election, and that's really all that matters at the end of the day. So they did their job. Now, the lower court could rule that it was an unofficial act and not covered by immunity, and then, of course, Trump can appeal that back up to the Supreme Court. Now, do I think it's going to make it that far? Probably not, because I think that Trump's going to win the election, and this case goes bye-bye.
But it also has impacts on the other cases as well.
Sure.
Even the Georgia RICO case, because some of the – I mean, the hush money case, because some of those discussions were when he was president. So now all of these have to be – I mean, I think the RICO case in Georgia is dead for other reasons, but, you know, some of the, you know, this has to be now, there has to be another hearing on that. And I'm sure you saw last night, Trump's legal team filed a motion to vacate the guilty verdict in the hush money trial.
Which there's zero chance that this has effect on that, by the way. I'm just going to put out there, that's what's going to happen with that. However, the effect that it did have in real life here, like, that's not going to get rid of his conviction. But what it did affect here is the sentencing date. The sentencing is no longer next week. It is now pushed back to September 18th. Could be pushed back even further, pending other significant appeals that are still yet to be made. So he's not going to get sentenced before the election, is basically what it comes down to. Now, here's what I really enjoyed yesterday. Not the actual legal facts of it, but the left meltdown over this. I mean, Jesus Christ. They were calling for Trump to be assassinated by Joe Biden. They what were some of the other crazy ones that were out there?
Oh my God. that was the main one.
Yeah. You know, they said that Trump could just become a dictator using this, which is just totally ridiculous.
The Biden White House was like, you know, this makes the president a king or some shit.
Well, you know, they would know about this obeying the Supreme Court. They've done it all fucking year on the student loan bullshit.
I mean, they tried to stop me. Remember that? They tried to stop
me. Yeah, they tried. They can't stop me.
They can't stop me. And then he gets out there and starts, you know, throws a 4-minute bitch fit about how damn the Supreme Court for stopping my politically motivated you know, witch hunt against my political rival.
So to recap, and by the way, in the immunity ruling, my favorite part of the entire thing was Clarence Thomas's concurrence, where he basically said that Jack Smith is illegitimate in an unconstitutional position.
Yes.
So,
yeah.
And that is still being debated down there in the documents case with Judge Cannon holding hearings on the scope and reach of the special counsel, the constitutionality of it. The chance that goes to actual trial before the election is pretty much zero. It's like 1-2%.
Yeah.
We just talked about the January 6th special counsel case, the Georgia case we had on.
Yep.
We talked about New York.
Yep.
So, again, President Trump is just a, you know.
He just wins, man.
Basically hitting the straight flush here on the Democrats' lawfare. And the lawfare is failing, and it's only done to help him. The Q2 fundraising numbers just came out earlier today. Trump outraised Biden by, I think, like $130 million, which is unheard of.
That's nuts.
That a Republican would be outraising a Democrat by that much.
Yeah.
I mean, that I can't remember that happening in any presidential cycle.
We never have the advantage
since Bush. Yeah. I think maybe even not Bush, maybe before that.
We never have the advantage in that.
Yeah. You know, they always like to say we're the party of big money, but we all know it's actually them.
It's them.
So, yeah, it's really just been an incredible seven-day period. And I think one of the dumb bitches on CNN the other day was like, if Trump ends up winning this election in November, we will look back at this seven-day period essentially as when he clinched the election.
Yeah.
You know, like I said, it's very early to be counting our chickens before they hatch. But I will say that the trajectory of the race is strongly in our favor currently.
Mm-hmm.
And we just have to keep pushing.
Yeah.
Just have to keep pushing.
It could be more bad news down the road. You know, we got the jobs report this week.
Well, it's going to be cooked. We all know that.
Yeah, it's going to be cooked. I know, but it's not.
Listen, don't even get me started on that because I don't have the blood pressure for that today. But yeah, so that's basically it. We have, I mean, there's so much illegal alien crime, just disgusting, brutal crime against Americans here. I can't run through all these cases right now, but just in the past week, I think there's been like 7 or 8 instances of illegals either raping or murdering or kidnapping American citizens here.
All with ICE detainers, all known, all legal, you know, all been captured and then released, all crossed within the last, you know, 2 to 3 years.
Yep.
And that executive order, you see that? Did you see the numbers post executive order?
Yeah.
100,000 people have poured in. So, you know what? Of course we knew this wasn't going to work. But, like, of course, you know.
I'll tell you one of their biggest wild cards here, and, you know, like I always say, I can't believe it hasn't happened yet. How many terrorists have come in through our open border?
Yeah.
And the warning signs that are being sent about a potential major attack, not just here in the homeland, but on our bases across the world, which have been raised to, I believe, warning level Charlie, which is like the second highest level for base security, it basically indicating that they think that there's a very strong chance of an attack. There's very, very bad signs of potentially something happening here. They have really, really hiked security for the NATO summit here in D.C. next week.
It's going to be bad.
You know, it's just a major concern of mine, and I think that's one of the biggest potential, you know, air quote, surprises of this election is if something terrible like that happens. I think you also have to really sincerely prepare for the chance that after the election, the Democrat, communist, Antifa machine cranks into full effect. If you look at what happened over in France,
mm-hmm.
You saw there that the right-wing party had an astounding first-round election victory.
Yeah.
Not winning outright, but in the runoff, I mean, they're up there. It's the first time that the right-wing party in France has done that, I think, ever, I believe.
Could have a right-wing prime minister.
Yeah. I mean, it's Marine Le Pen's party.
Kid's 28
years old. Yeah. He's the protege.
Yeah.
Which was smart, by the way, really smart.
Well, she's done a really good job, you know, modernizing the party, getting rid of the proto-Nazi elements in there. I mean, she expelled her own dad, who said some
Nazi weird things
about some Nazis. Yeah. You know, you had to get rid of him. And, you know, she's basically like, you know, we're proud to be French, and immigration's out of control, among other things. So, still kind of lefty on the economy, but, you know, that's Europe for you. You know?
Mm-hmm.
But...
Well, so, I mean, like I said, I'm very concerned about an attack like that. Yeah. But the Antifa leftist thing here in the United States, we have to be prepared significantly for a major civil uprising, I guess you would say, in the aftermath of the election, if Trump were to win here. You know, these leftists were burning shit down and fighting cops. And
Seattle's going to be overtaken again.
Well, that's fine. They could have that. But, it's you know, it'll be BLM 2020 on steroids, really, if Trump wins again. Because they're not going to do well.
The tanks are going to be rolling.
Remember, they boarded up every single major city for a potential Trump victory back in 2020. Only after they, you know, what, at the election, they took those boards down. All I have to say is buy guns and buy ammo to protect yourself, your family, and your property.
And that's gold.
Not financial advice. But that is the best thing you could do. Yeah. I mean, really, that's it. So
got to protect yourselves.
Yes, 100%.
That's another great Supreme Court ruling that we've had over the past few years or so on the Second Amendment. So.
And I haven't gotten a chance to read, but apparently the Supreme Court did make some moves on some pending gun cases for next year. So we'll have to digest that.
And usually after a big landmark case, they kind of let things languish for 10 years before they revisit this issue.
We'll see. All right, so a few things to preview here for what's coming up. Biden has now caved to the pressure and will be doing a sit-down interview with George Stephanopoulos.
A sit-down interview.
Yeah.
Of course.
Well, I love how that was breaking news today. I'm like, I don't really think a president doing an interview is breaking news, but, you know.
Especially with a former Clinton operative.
No, that's the...
Like, seriously. Yeah. Like, what the fuck is this?
Yep. Well, what'll be really interesting to see is if Stephanopoulos does the work of the Clintons and the Obamas and tries to take out Joe. Ooh. So that'll be really interesting to see.
I think that will cause a fracture in the party that will be long lasting.
I agree. I mean,
that is betrayal. I think no matter what you think, like that is, and that's also again with like the wing of the party. It's like the Clintons again. You know, like that. You know, like that slice. Mm-hmm. Like I kind of want to see that.
They know that they're super backed into the corner here, and that's really what's they really just should have had this conversation a year ago and not had this problem, but, you know, I'm happy that they didn't.
Every single time they brought it up, you know, Ron Klain and others, you know, were like, oh, no, he's fine. Mm-hmm, he's fine.
And, of course, we have coming up the announcement of Trump's VP candidate, which should be very interesting. Who's your money on right now?
I think it's going to be Burgum.
Same, yeah. We have the...
George Washington. He looks like George Washington. He does.
He's definitely, as Trump would say, out of central casting, which plays a huge role for Trump, for sure. We have the Republican National Convention coming up.
Yes.
That's not this coming week, but the week after. And after that, we're, you know, off to the races. We've got, I think the 21st is supposed to be the air quote roll call vote for Biden to become the nominee. Once that happens... That's over. The only way he's leaving that nomination is if he dies, which is certainly possible. Yeah. Who's going to die first, Jimmy Carter or Joe Biden?
I think Jimmy Carter's going to live another 500 years.
That guy, he just won't die.
I think hospice might have to, you know, retool the policy. Like, if you don't die within a certain period.
Apparently, he's just, like, not waking up anymore. And I'm like, well, but doesn't that mean he's dead? No, he's just, apparently not. Like, you still have vital signs. So.
The longest hospital stay ever.
Like, come on, you know.
for me, post-presidency, man. God bless him.
We've already lost, you know, well, how many presidents after him? We've lost Reagan, H.W., and that's it. Who's going to go next?
Oh, Bill? Gerald Ford.
Oh, yeah, Gerald Ford. Who's going to go next? Bill Clinton?
I don't know. Bill Clinton's up there. He's on death's watch.
He has been living pretty long with those AIDS, though. Magic Johnson in this bitch.
Oh yeah.
It's gonna be something when Jimmy Carter finally does that. You know, like I said, I got nothing against him personally. I think he seems like a good guy.
Great,
a good Christian man.
Great post presidency,
but
didn't know what the hell he was doing.
Terrible president.
Didn't know what the hell he was doing.
But Biden's worse, which is really something.
I keep forgetting Gerald Ford was also like 1,000 years old when he died.
Yeah,
he was in his 90s. I mean, another another good guy who unfortunately had the stink of Nixon on him.
But, yeah. Well, Nixon this
Nixon
week...
was vindicated. He's yes. slightly been more exonerated vindicated.
Yeah, exonerated this week yeah, for true. The immunity. Everything yeah, would have been covered. Yeah, yeah.
Fine.
Yeah.
He created the EPA. I didn't like that, but, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah, yeah. Well... and then, of course, you know, into August, the full DNC, and then it's Labor Day, and there's supposed to be a second debate. We'll see if that happens. The Biden campaign says it's on, so that's really interesting.
I bet the president's going to get another cold, and they might have to
yeah,
cancel.
Yeah, that was my favorite excuse. Yeah,
they might have to cancel.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, we're going to wrap up the show for today. I've got a ton of work to do here before I'm off tomorrow through the weekend for my favorite holiday, the great Independence Day. But that being said, you know what to do. If you enjoy Triggered and want to get it uncensored and ad-free, become a Town Hall VIP member at townhallvip.com. Use the promo code USA60, and don't tell anybody I'm still giving you this, USA60. That sale was supposed to be done a couple days ago, so, but, you know, I kind of control that. So yeah. Get you 60% off, 60%. Best deal of the year. I promise you, you're going to love it. Money back guarantee. No Triggered listener has ever come back to me for their money. And we have so many VIPs that listen to your Triggered. We love all of you. Not only in our exclusive club of Patriots, the VIPs, but all of our Triggered listeners here. We do the show for you guys. A lot of times it would be easier just to not, because my schedule is always fucked, but we love you, and that's why we do this show. So I know we'll be back here in the fall with 2 episodes per week through the election. I know a lot of people are looking forward to that. Don't forget, 5-star ratings and reviews go a long way to helping us beat the big tech algorithm. If you'd like to reach out, email us, triggered@townhall.com. I love hearing from all of you. And we will be back here next Wednesday, July 10th, for another episode of Triggered.
See you then.